Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Monique Guzman, your host as the Passion Instigator. Our topic today is one woman's journey from corporate job going to nonprofit job. We have our leading lady, Patty Zamora. She is the Director of Marketing and Communications at Open Doors Academy, which is a nonprofit after-school program for inner-city kids, K through 12, in Northeast Ohio. Welcome, Patty.
Thank you for having me.
That's so good. I can't wait to get started. So I'm going to throw you into the wolves here right away. So I know you have 25 years in communications, and what I have is that you started in CNN, correct?
You know, I did. Right out of college, I got an internship actually at CNN in Atlanta, and then that turned into a full-time position. I was in my early 20s, and I'm talking about, gosh, this was like mid-90s. And So I worked there for a few years. I always was fascinated with the news. And at the time, there was no other place that I wanted to be but CNN. I was really, really fortunate to be able to work there when I did. But that's kind of how I started my career in communications.
Right. What was your role there?
Gosh, when I started, everyone started like at the bottom, right? And you worked way up. And I started as a video journalist. I also worked in the feeds department. So I was in charge of the video that would be coming into the center from different affiliates and sometimes internationally as well. So we would get raw video that we would then turn around and would be on the news.
Right. And then so did you find any struggles or in your early, I think it was early 20s, what kind of struggles did you have back then? As a young woman trying to, you know, in the professional world with, you know, the big guys, the big boys or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting. I think a lot of people may be aware of you know, this movie called Bombshell that came out, I think maybe a couple of years now. It came at the height of the Me Too movement, which I could relate to, unfortunately, very well, because I did experience some of that when I was working there. And at the time, you know, it was just part of – it just seemed like it was part of the deal. You know, it was just something that you had to deal with. And just it's kind of unfortunate, you know, not kind of, it was, that you had to deal with it. So when that movie came out, I was just like, oh my gosh, it was just like reliving some of the things that I had to go through, which is unfortunate. And I was just, I'm just so happy now that there is a light on that and that it's not tolerated or shouldn't be tolerated. And there's more, awareness of it because certainly when I was, starting off, as a young professional, we didn't have that kind of support. At least I didn't.
Right.
And I didn't, I feel like my fellow peers didn't as well.
Right. And after CNN, did you go straight to Qualcomm, I believe it was? Or did you did you leave Atlanta, come back to San Diego?
Yeah. So I'm a native San Diegan, and I moved back home to San Diego. I missed it. And, you know, I was missing San Diego, but also news wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And so I decided to switch careers, and I went into public relations, which I've been ever since, and I've really enjoyed it. The being part of the media side of it definitely helped. I could understand what the media, you know, is always looking for. So as a PR professional, I knew what kinds of stories that they were interested in. So that helped me out a lot with my career. But yeah, I came back to San Diego, and one of my first big jobs was working at Qualcomm, a telecom giant in San Diego. And you know, that very challenging, I must say. You know, being a corporate company entity like that in San Diego, it was very demanding. I'm not going to lie, and it took a lot out of me as far as, you know, balancing, you know, life balance with work. It had its ups and downs. And then afterwards, I ended up, let's see, I ended up taking some time off when I had my son, like so many working mothers do. And I went back into the workforce when I felt like, you know, I could. I started working at Life Technologies, which is no longer in existence. It's now Thermo Fisher Scientific out of Boston. But at the time, I was working also for another corporation in life sciences.
And were you doing also PR there, or was it something different, or was it communications?
No, I was also doing PR. It was corporate in-house PR. Yeah, so again, just staying within, you know, the communications realm. And it was a great time in that I really loved what the company was doing, trying to help people.
Right.
I think that was my first taste of really connecting the work that I did to a bigger cause. And I had a little bit of that in some of the PR I got to do and the stories I got to tell. The company was very heavy in DNA technology, and I got to see firsthand some of the things that the company was able to achieve in helping people. And so that really sparked my interest in, if you will, in humanity and the bigger and the better.
So then how did you – was there something in between the your job working in the corporate arena and then going into nonprofit? Was there what happened to you in between, or was there a revelation of some sort of, you know, light bulb or hiccup in your?
Well, you know, it's funny. I got into nonprofit by accident. So after working at Life Technologies, I took some time off. I remarried and became a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
And quickly realized that I missed working. I missed being with people. I'm a people person. I mean, that's why I just love communications. I love networking and being with a team. And I wanted to get back into working. But I found in those few years that I took off, and I think it was, gosh, maybe 2 or 3 years, going back into the job force was really, really challenging for me. And I couldn't figure out why. And I hate to say it, but I do believe some of it was my age. I mean, by this time, you know, I did feel like there was a little bit of ageism. I really did, because I definitely had the experience. Definitely had that under my belt.
Right. Maybe it's like your resume was so fancy and so big, and then you were not some college student out of college with, you know. And so when you have so much reputation and so much years, the company see you as dollar amount as opposed to what can she provide and bring to the table.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I found that, you know, I was qualified enough. So what was the deal? I think also the challenge was my the type of business I was in, okay? So communication has changed a lot, and it continues to change. I mean, in just those few years, I mean, social media just took off, right? I mean, in the beginning, it was, you know, it was LinkedIn, it was Facebook, and then you got Instagram and Twitter, and you've got, you know, Snapchat, and you've got all these
don't forget
different
TikTok.
Oh yeah, TikTok. You know, it's just, you know, one thing after another. And I didn't, you know, that was something that came out later. You know, I got into this type of business, that wasn't it. I mean, we were still sending like snail mail. You know, press releases in the mail, you know.
Right.
Email, you picked up the phone, you talked to a reporter, you know, that was kind of how I was brought up.
The old school
and,
way.
yeah, and it served me well, and I did really well that way. And so I think there was a little bit of that. And so then I got, so, you know, here I am looking for a job. It was really challenging. I would say it was a good year and a half before I got something. And the job that I really say came to me, found me, was working at the Salvation Army's Adult Rehab Center in San Diego.
And how was it that it found you?
Well, so I didn't realize that until later. So when I you know, looking back, I really feel like it found me. I didn't find it. It found me. You know, it was the only job I got. It was the only thing that came to me, and I was like, well, I better take it, you know. Always thinking in the back of my head, you know, in the back of my mind, that I'd stay there until I found something better.
Better.
Right. Better.
Like, you
know,
you're above this. This is like...
Honestly, I did. Honestly, I did. I'm, you know... I can say that I went in it just like, okay, it's just something temporary until I get something else. Because I was used to making, you know, a certain amount of money. I mean, at the time when I was working at Life Technologies, I was making six figures. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, a nonprofit, you know, you're not going in for the big bucks. Let's face it, right?
Yeah.
And so I looked at it that way. It was just a stepping stone until something better came along. And then one day... I had an experience at the rehab center where I was just having a horrible day. And I was ready to just call it quits. I was like, I'm better than this. I shouldn't deserve this. You know, I didn't go to college for this, you know, just boohoo, you know, for me.
Right.
And remember walking through our warehouse where the men and women who were in the program would work. It was a work therapy program.
Okay.
And we're talking about men and women who are fighting addiction and basically have nothing. And I remember this young man stopping me and asking me if I was actually a counselor. And I was like, no, I'm not a counselor here. What would make you think that? And he's like, well, you know, you're really nice. You say hi to us. You know, you don't dismiss us. And you just seem like you care. And I was like, huh, okay, all right, thanks. I kept walking, and then it just dawned on me. I was like, you know what? That was really cool. That was really nice.
Right.
And I went back to him, and I said, you know, I was having a really horrible day, and you just made my day. And I just started crying. Like, it just...
Wow.
Guy who I'm supposed to be helping, right? That's why I'm there.
Right,
I'm
you're supposed to be
helping him. He helped me. And he's like, can I give you a hug? And I said, yeah, I want a hug. And it was like, that was my aha moment, if you will. I was just like, wow. Like, I needed that. I needed that perspective. I needed that slap in the face. Like, how can I was like, I'm not looking for anything better. How can you look for anything better than helping somebody? Right?
Yeah.
What better is there than that?
Right.
So
this quality.
That,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so after that happened, I just looked at it differently, and I was like all in, and I just went in there wanting just to help in any way I could, in my own small way, and just bringing attention to what the center was all about. And so that's
kind of how I
changed my mindset. Mm-hmm.
Right, and that switch is it's kind of like a realization of what you truly wanted and what was fulfilling and giving you happiness, because you know, sometimes it's can be right in your face and we don't see it. And I want to share with the audience that with your time during Salvation Army, you went 100% after that switch. And during the summer of last year, you got something, right? You share with everyone what happened.
Oh,
last summer.
Just this past summer, not expecting it, because I'll just fast forward really quickly. I left the Salvation Army Center. I moved to Cleveland, Ohio, so I've been here. I really did not want to leave. I wanted to stay, but for other reasons, I moved out of state, and I'm here in Ohio now. But not aware that this was in the works, I received this really, really nice award from the Western Territory Commander and the National head of the Salvation Army for my work there at the center, basically. And I was just so honored and proud and really touched that in that small amount of time I was able to do some good. And that meant everything to me. I mean, it's taken me about 25 years for me to feel like I finally found my niche, like I finally found my purpose. Because when I was younger, it was all about, going up the corporate ladder, making the money, you know, all the accolades, you know, but from a very superficial, you know, way.
Right, right.
And you know, and I'm not, you know, for some people that's, you know, that they love that. That's their career goal, that they want to stay in corporate and they, you know, want to be vice president, president one day, CEO, and that's great. Me, I realized it wasn't for me, and I really have enjoyed what I've done. And so now I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, working for an organization, again, nonprofit. It's called Open Doors Academy, and it's an after-school program for K through 12 young kids that need a place to go after school and that may otherwise fall through the cracks, right? And so for 30 years, we've been in Northeast Ohio helping kids. And, you know, whether it's homework, mentoring, summer school programs, we're just an extension. It's like we're an extension of their family and really hoping that they'll continue with their schooling and learning. And so I'm still doing what I love, helping people. And it's just really rewarding. And I'm really happy with what I'm doing.
Right. Well, you're lucky that you found your calling, so to speak, and having that clarity, especially now, this time, it's very hard with social media painting pictures of what is our best life, right? And but you found it, and you know, ole to you, bravo. And so that's awesome. I do want to take a quick moment and recognize one of our sponsors.
Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner National University. National University is proud to be San Diego's largest private nonprofit university, founded in 1971. The National University mission is to provide accessible, achievable higher education to adult learners. Today, National University educates students from across the U.S. and around the globe with over 170,000 alumni worldwide. So thank you for your support, National University, and our partners.
So we're
and Monique, now back to your show.
Yes, thanks. We are back with Patty Zamora and her story. I wanted to ask you, Patty, during your work, whether at corporate or not, or the nonprofit that you're doing now, have you always had or a combination of having women supervisors? Where have you what mm-hmm. kind of experience have you had with other women above you leading, and then how it made you also as mm-hmm. a leader, and your effects
yeah.
there?
Yeah, no, great question. I actually was thinking about this because throughout my, you know, 20-some years in the workforce, I've probably only had, I'm thinking, two male bosses, supervisors, and the rest have been women.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. I think it's just the field that I'm in, honestly. I think it's just predominantly, you know, women. At least that's been my experience. I think it's changing, but for the most part, I think there's a lot of women in communications, PR, if you will. And so, you know, it's mixed. I was thinking about this, and it's like, you know, there have been women who've been my supervisor who, unfortunately, I felt were very pressured in let's say, acting like a guy, acting like a man, like they had to, you know, to be like a man, and didn't support women. Which I think is really sad. I had a lot of that, unfortunately. But among it all, I did have a few women who I still remain very close to and have become friends, who were very gracious, warm, welcoming, also working mothers, mentors, that were tough but fair. Mm-hmm. And didn't, you know, were there to support you. So I did have both. And and I'm so fortunate that I'm working for my CEO now, Dr. Dorothy Malthrop. She's amazing. She's a lovely woman, comes from a teaching background. She loves our kids. And really is constantly appreciative of the work that you bring and that you do. And I see that with all of our employees. And I don't know if, you know, if it's maybe it's because it's nonprofit. I don't know. But, you know, we're there for not for ourselves, but for a bigger cause. And
right.
That's what I love. That's what I love.
Right. I think that the more women leaders that with time we get used to it, we don't have to perform, we perform our best to ourselves, and I think it's just a matter of time. And I wanted to ask you mm-hmm. from going on to that subject and to young women coming into the
mm-hmm.
workforce, what advice would you give
mm-hmm.
to young women
mm-hmm.
coming into the workforce, whether corporate or
mm-hmm.
nonprofit?
Yeah.
What would you give for advice?
I do what you're passionate about. You know, you're going to do so well if you find something that you truly believe in. That's where I think the focus should be, you know? And you're going to do great. You're going to succeed. I mean, I wish somebody had told me that when I was younger, you know, it's like, find something that you're very passionate about and go in it, you know, and you're going to see the rewards. So that's what I would personally say, somebody that's coming out of college and maybe a little lost and, you know, and it's okay. I mean, it took
yeah.
me a long time before I could figure out exactly what that was. You know,
it took you, 22 years?
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, I think we put so much pressure on kids that, you know, you have to know what you're gonna do in life. And, I mean,
right.
Think about it. I mean, they're 18, 19, they're in their 20s. How could they possibly know? And times change, circumstances change, life changes. You know, we grow.
Right.
So to stay in, I mean, it's all revolving. It's all evolving. And
right.
So I think we really need to take some pressure off ourselves and the young kids coming out of school, you know. But anyway, I tell my son. My son's first year freshman in college, and he wanted to go into music. And I was like, go for it. You're passionate about it. You love it. you're going to do great at it.
Right.
And so that's my recommendation.
So, Patty, what is then, I'm going to throw it back at you, what is your passion and what's important to you now that you found your niche, as you say, what would you, what's important to you and what makes you get up in the morning and do what you do?
Causes, things that you believe in, you know, helping humanity, doing good. I mean, whether that's just like saying hi to, you know, to somebody on the street, you know, smiling at them, just, you know, just being nice. I think in the past few years, we've lost that, you know, we've lost that. And it really saddens me. And so I'm all for the underdog, you know, that's kind of my thing. And I want to be able to help people at the end of the day. And if I can do that by shining the light of the work that my colleagues are doing, because they're really the ones doing it. I mean, they're out there with the kids, they're helping them, they're teaching them, they're mentoring. But if I can shine a light on the work that they do, then I feel like I've done something good in my own way. And that's what gets me going, because, I mean, it's true what they say. Kids, this new generation, they're going to be taking care of us. They're our future. So let's help them if we can.
Right, right, right. What is I'm going to throw, I'm going to surprise you here with a question. What is your, would you say, what would you say is your, what would you say is your superpower?
My superpower. Oy. You know, I feel like I can just about mingle, if you will, or just pick up a conversation with just anybody, just about anybody. You know, I don't care if it is a CEO or, you know, somebody who, you know, blue collar work, or, you know, anybody. I feel like we can all learn from each other, from our experiences. And so I think being able to, like, I'm a chameleon, I guess you could say. I can just about fit in anywhere, I think.
I think you can. I mean, I know you, so I think you can. So, yeah. I want to thank you so much for being part of our show and for being our leading lady today and sharing your story.
Do I get a plaque? Do I get a plaque that says I'm the leading lady today?
I'll send you a virtual plaque.
Okay.
That's the new way of doing things.
There you go. Well, thank you so much. I just loved being on your show. It went by fast.
Yes, it,
was
it does. And I want to a special thanks to our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally. We will be back again for another Women Lead Radio show on Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It has been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening. And remember, live every day passionately because life is too short. Have a wonderful weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.